Call to order the regular assembly meeting of the city and borough of Wrangell, Alaska on February 24th, 2015, at 7 p.m. Pledge of allegiance this evening will be led by Assembly Member Julie Decker, and if you please remain standing for the invocation to be given by Nettie Kovall for the Presbyterian Church.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please join me in prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we do thank you for all who are active and participate and care for the welfare of this city. We ask that you be with all of those who are gathered here and who are listening, that with the disagreements and the agreements, that the good of the city comes through. Be with all of these people and keep them safe as they travel home. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. First thing we have this evening is a presentation from Lonnie Shippen from Rancoach Data on the information for the waterfront master plan public meeting. You come forward, whoever you designate, come forward, state your name.
Obviously, I'm not May Lonnie. My name is Chris Myrtle, M-E-R-T-L. Address is 4615 Thane Road, Juneau, Alaska.
Thank you.
I'm the project manager for, Mr. Mayor, members of the assembly, I'm the project manager for the Wrangell Waterfront Master Plan Project. I'm working with James Bibb with Northwind Architects, and Lonnie Shivens with Raincoast Data. And we also have Dick Somerville with P&D Engineers, who's already headed his way back to Juneau. Just to give you an update, I came before you about a month ago. We had our first public meeting. We had about 50 people there. And what we had asked the public was to tell us what they like about Wrangell's waterfront, what they dislike about Wrangell's waterfront, and what are their priorities for improving those. After I presented to you, we held our second public meeting, and we worked in taking those ideas, and we generated 8 different master plans for Wrangell's waterfront. They're all phased approaches, and we presented those to the community. The community was fantastic. We had about 50 people show up, very vocal, really good decision making, really saw the big picture. They weren't so worried about their individual interests. They were really, I believe, providing input, looking at the good of the community as a whole. So yeah, I thought that was really good exercise and really, really valuable to understand the importance of this project to the community. We asked people about what they liked about the 8 different master plans, what they disliked, and then we had them vote on which were their top 3 master plans. So from the 8, we whittled it down to 3. We went back to our offices in Juneau. We refined those. We also developed cost estimates. We had a meeting, public meeting last night, public meeting number 3. We presented the 3 concepts. And the 3 concepts also included cost estimates. And it may have been a little bit of a slap to the face, of course, because the one that everybody liked the most was the most expensive. The 3 plans ranged from $15 million for the first one, $15 million for the second, and $35 million for the third one, which was the one that the people liked the most. I think we all had a little bit of a reality check, and everyone realized that was far too expensive. And we had some great community participation. We had about 35 people show up last night. And we worked collaboratively to come up with solutions of bringing the project into a reasonable scope that still met the needs of the community, but also was financially feasible. And we spent a lot of time working out, looking at the different plans. We've since had meetings with our steering committee this morning and a few other of the major stakeholders, and we feel pretty confident that we've come up with a master plan that we're going to call the preferred master plan. It'll have several phases, probably 4, maybe 5 different phases of implementation. We feel that we're down below the $15 million price tag. That seemed to be a threshold that people, once we got above that, people definitely felt uncomfortable. And so I would really encourage you to join us tomorrow, 6:30. James, Melanie, and myself will be in the small conference room, same as last time, working with the community. It's an open door workshop session. Please come in, look over our shoulders, provide input, talk to us, let us know your concerns, and make sure that we're developing a master plan that really reflects your needs. We're just professional designers and engineers. It needs to reflect your needs as the community. So we will be in the small conference room all day tomorrow, working away, looking at costs, looking at phasing approaches, and then we're going to be presenting these to the public tomorrow at 6:30. So I really encourage you to come out tomorrow. This is going to be one of your last chances, really, to provide comments. Some of you have attended, and thank you for joining us. There's a few faces that I know that haven't attended yet, and I think this is a really valuable exercise and a really a proactive way to move forward, because really the master plan is predicated on providing economic opportunities for the community. Not only meeting the needs of economic opportunities, whether it be the Marine Service Yard, but also providing tourism and meeting the needs of the locals. Now, ultimately, this needs to serve the community as a big picture. So please, if you get a chance tomorrow, it's pretty much going to be one of your last chances, really, to provide input that we can morph and include into the master plan. What after tomorrow, we're going to get public input, final input on the preferred master plan. We'll go back to our offices. We're going to generate a full-blown report, final master plan, and make a final presentation to you in about 6 weeks or so. And of course, I'll be happy to report back to you, and maybe that might be the time that we provide a little bit more of an in-depth presentation, because it is going to go final, and I think it would probably be something that, if it is endorsed at the assembly level, I think it's probably going to be a document that well serves you. So 5 minutes or less, that's my presentation. If you have any questions, happy to answer them.
What are the hours tomorrow again? I think you said them, but I missed it.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
6:30 for the public meeting?
For dropping by, are you just in there?
We'll be in there from 9 till right before the meeting.
Okay.
We sometimes get pulled away, whether we have to meet with economic development or whomever. We disappear sometimes when we need to meet with small groups. But we're trying to be as proactive as meeting with as many different stakeholders and groups in the community.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
Next item on the agenda is Certificate of Service. There are three here for the same situation. So I'm just going to read one and then name the people. Save my voice a little bit. This is a Certificate of Service. The City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska presents a Certificate of Service to Clay Hammer, Bob Prunilla, and Bob Mexam for their service and dedication as a member of the Thomas Bay Power Commission from October 2011 to January 2015. For Clay Hammer. July 2014 to January 2015, but for Bob Prunilla. And for Robert Maxson, August 2014 to January 2015. I don't see any of the persons in the audience, so the clerk will be sure that they receive those certificates. And we do thank them for their service on that board. Roll call.
Assembly members Blake?
Here.
Chrisanka?
Here.
Rooney? Decker?
Here.
Powell?
Here.
Mitchell?
Here.
And Mayor Jack?
Here. Amendments to the agenda. Item 4, conflict of interest.
I may have a conflict if there's an action for the Fenimore P&B. I also own and operate a bed and breakfast in the community.
We have a rental as well. I don't know. So that's a potential conflict.
I don't know that that's a conflict because the business is already in business. I don't think your business is not going to affect that or yours. I don't think it affects that or yours affect them. I mean, you don't get anything. You would not gain anything monetarily by any, whatever the decision is. Is that correct?
Well, technically, if I voted to not approve their application for a zoning variance, that would toss X number of people out into the market that I would potentially be able to benefit from if I was a nefarious individual. So that's why I raised it as a conflict.
I think that's too remote to be considered a conflict.
Okay. Perfect.
And then I'm going to have a conflict on new business item A.
Okay, I understand.
Okay.
Glitch.
You got it. Okay, item 5, consent agenda.
I move to approve consent agenda item 6A, 7A, 7B, and 7C.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
I'd like to mention, and I talked with Kim about this, but hopefully we can get the Port Commission meetings a little more timely because they like go back over a year. So.
Anything further? Paul, please.
Assembly members Prasanka?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Borough manager's report.
Just a couple things. First of all, I'd like to thank the Public Works Department for the repair of the water mains. That may continue to be problems with the ductile iron we have around town that keeps prematurely failing. You know, when we bought that, it was supposed to have lives of, you know, close to 50 years, and some of that is failing before 15 years. Some of it is out perfectly fine, and others, I don't know if there is some kind of a, if it's a soil issue or what the, in certain parts of town or whatever the problem is. But anyway, I'd like to thank the Public Works for their efforts and working into the night there to get that fixed, and hopefully people weren't too inconvenienced. Also, I'd like to report that an organization, SafeWise.com, takes information off the FBI crime report statistics, and in that they listed the 5 safest cities in Alaska to live in, and Wrangell was number 2 behind Haines, and so that's certainly a good thing. And I was telling someone that that's because it's a real old community and we don't have the energy to commit a crime. But other than that, so that's certainly a positive thing for Wrangell. Also, as a lot of the public, and I'm sure the council knows this, with the price of oil where it's at, the state of Alaska is whacking and chopping, and municipalities receive a fair amount of revenue from the state in several different programs. And we are going to suffer because of that, along with all the other cities in Alaska. We are starting to we've taken some immediate steps about some cost-saving measures. We will continue to look at that through the current year. And then we are going to start looking at things in our budget for next year. Our budget goals is we'll operate within the current tax structure that we currently have. We're going to try to preserve all the jobs we can. That might entail looking at benefit costs have gone sky high, so that might look at keeping the jobs but less benefits in a lot of different areas. We're going to look at every single department, everything we do to try to make it through 1 year at a time here, but also knowing that it's going to get worse next year and worse the following year. So anyway, I think it's important for the community, and also We're going to have some public hearings. We plan to have a draft budget to the assembly sometime about mid-April, and I think that's about the time the legislature is done. And at that time, we'll have more information about what we're getting or what we're not getting. And but I think it's important for the community because there are going to be things that may affect services, may affect outside agencies that we now fund. And so I think it's important that people participate in this process so it doesn't come up July 1st when the new budget starts and, you know, I didn't know we weren't going to have that or I didn't know this was going to happen. So I think it's important that people in the public participate. And I know a lot of our budget hearings, there's no one here. And I think this year it's important that the public participates, helps the assembly saying, because it's going to be a priority issue of what stays and what goes. So I think it's important that we hear from the public and what is important to preserve and what things are we willing to do without. So, but again, it is going to be a difficult year, and but our goal is to present a budget within the money that we have without a tax increase of any kind. So that's our marching orders as far as I'm concerned, unless someone tells me different. But that's the bleak message. Other than that, we have some projects that the city dock project should be. I think they may have even started today. Greg's here. Started today. Sounds like it'll take about 6 weeks to do the work down there, so it'll be all ready for, you know, any of the tourist season. We'll be putting out a survey request, RFP for survey work on the Edlin lots. There's about 8 lots there that we're going to put out to the public for sale. Waterfront master plan, as you know, was rolling along here. And that's about it. Any questions?
I want to hear you list the pool repairs. For the public's knowledge, where are we at on those right now, and what's the cost, and how are we scheduled to pay for those?
I think currently the you know, there's that master list that was done that, you know, had mm-hmm. millions of dollars of stuff. But I think right now what we're looking at is finishing the patch job in the pool, and I believe all we're waiting for now is the tiles to arrive. I think the patch has been completed. Amber, and then the heat exchanger is here. Is that correct?
Yes, it's going to be installed this week.
Okay. So that was the other piece. Is there any other magic?
Those are the two main items.
Before we can crank the pool up. So.
And how are we paying for this?
At this time, we had a little bit of money when we had a $35,000 grant that kind of did the pool assessment, and then we had about $5,000 left over from that, and then I think everything else is coming out of existing budgeted funds. Now to get into any of the other things, that's going to be, you know, money well beyond a maintenance budget, but those things to get the pool running again, operating, that will, we have the money to do that.
Yeah.
A question on that larger report of all the sort of maintenance projects that need to be done on the pool and the rec center. I don't remember seeing that. Can you send that around to the assembly members?
It's a draft form right
now. Oh, it's not final?
We expect the final one here in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
But we will get that to you.
Okay.
And it has things that should be done pretty soon, and it has things that can be, you know, done over a period of time. So. And that's both the pool and the community center.
Any other questions? Thank you. Clerk's file.
Other than what's in my report, I don't have anything. If the assembly members wish to go to the meeting tomorrow, of course that has been noticed as a possible quorum, so please feel free to go and join them.
Any questions, comments? Thank you. Next item Mayor, Assembly reports and appointments. Any Assembly member have any reports? Well, Dave, you raised your hand first.
Prior to being appointed to this, I was went on to strategic planning for the vocational of the school, and we've had two meetings, and I just wanted to let you guys know that everything's, you know, moving along really good with that. It's a really good thing. If anybody's got, I kind of forgot the date of the next meeting we were supposed to have, but the superintendent up there is doing a really great job with putting the meeting on. Just I'll let you guys know that there's a strategic plan out there for the school, and it's a really good thing.
I'd just like to address the joint meeting that we had with the hospital, and I was disappointed in some areas in that joint meeting, and one area was that there was no hospital board members present, and just hospital employees. And I think it's important moving forward with this hospital that we all recognize that the hospital is in tough shape. And I've had it mentioned to me by the CFO, numerous employees, and even the CEO has not ruled it out, that they're going to be coming to this borough assembly looking potentially for money for operating costs. And given what I read today from our city manager, it concerns me. And hospitals are not small ticket items. It's, you know, a lot of money just to make payroll. And I really want to continue to ensure that the hospital remains solvent as we move forward. And I was also concerned about several areas of conflict of interest with Peace Health administrating our hospital and awarding themselves contracts for various functions within our hospital. And that does concern me. Now, I spoke with Jeff today about that. And it sounds like there was some work done on certain areas of that, but I want to ensure that we are not in a cyclical agreement with Peace Health where our lab or our pharmacy is being farmed out to Ketchikan without any consideration for the pharmacy that's currently, one of the pharmacies that's currently operating in our community. Are these things going out and being offered locally before we do it? And secondly, are we getting the best deal possible? I found it interesting how much money we're paying Peace Health to administrate our hospital. And I know there's certain benefits that come along with that, but it is a pile of money. And currently it's a pile of money that we don't have. So that concerns me. I would encourage the board members of the hospital continue looking at every way for us to keep it sustainable as we move forward and not force ourselves into a position of offering up our hospital for external management on an ongoing basis like Ketchikan has done, Yakutat has done, Cordova has done, Haines has done. I would really like to see us keep the administration of our hospital local. I appreciate that the staff came down and prepared the information that they had. And I wish the board was there to hear some of that information. I hope it gets shared with them from the questions from the assembly.
Thank you.
As most of you know, four of us last week traveled to Juneau for the AML conference. While we were up there, we had the opportunity to meet with several of our senators and House of Representatives, Senator Stedman, Rep. Orts. We had meetings with the governor and the Speaker of the House and Senator Murkowski and several others. All of them pretty much told us the same story. Revenue sharing with the oil prices down has dropped. Normally it's $60 million, which is split between all the eligible communities. That's down by $8 million this year. What they're talking about is next year it will drop to 35% of that figure, and a year after that it'll drop to zero. SRS Secure Rural Schools funding, we were originally scheduled $1,352,000 for this year. That's been cut to $49,000. It's a loss of almost $1,200,000. Right now, they're not projecting any money at all for capital improvement projects, so everything that we have on that big, long wish list is going to have to wait. We're not the only ones. Troopers have been told to cut 30 positions. So more than likely, the trooper that we just lost, we won't be getting back anytime soon. Department of Corrections was ordered to cut. That almost cost us our jail, but bringing that to the senator's attention and with the help of the troopers that also have to cut, they've decided instead of closing all the community jails, that they're going to cut funding across the board for all of the jails in the hopes that we can at least keep some of the community jails open. Alaska Marine Highway Services is on a chopping block. Last I heard, they were talking about cutting one of the ferry trips to Bellingham. I don't know where that's at right now. And basically, there's no department across the state that's not on the chopping block in some form or another.
Just to follow on that a little bit, I think that our lobbyist, our state lobbyist, is actually fulfilling a pretty important role right now in keeping us informed in how these cuts could roll out for our community. And is advocating on our behalf, letting us know when things are coming down the road and what we can do to hopefully hold off cuts that are negative for our community. But at the same time, I think we have to be prepared for pretty much anything. I mean, everything's on the table, and you know, in the dark of the night, in the last days of session, Senate Finance Committee can go behind closed doors and cut deals and make final budgets that, you know, the majority caucus has agreed that they're going to approve, and it'll move through. And we're in a position that we don't have much power. Coastal Alaska doesn't have much power to stop that. So I think many people are hoping that the administration can act defensively to make sure at least Coastal Alaska is treated fairly, but you know, there's no guarantees. So, I think the Marine Highway System is actually a big target because not too many other people in the state, you know, will scream and it won't affect them as much where the population centers are. So, whereas like municipal revenue sharing affects everybody, so everyone will scream. So anyway, just more thoughts on that whole process.
Well, after being to that meeting, it brings to light that we've got a lot of cutting to do. It's going to hurt Wrangell, but we'll get through it. Wrangell's been here before. We got all this money from the state, and we'll be here afterwards. There is a couple of bright spots. One is that Wrangell is not very much in debt. And thanks to Jeff and management of the council through the years, we haven't got a lot of bonds out. What bonds we do have out, we've got money to pay them pretty well back. So there are some cities that are in deep debt, and some of those could be facing bankruptcy. We're not one of those. So I think in that aspect, we're on solid ground. We're just going to have to take a real close look, and there's going to be a lot of public hearings. You know, we'll try to do this as fairly as we can and maintain as much as we can, and I hope the public takes the opportunity to get involved in these talks and discussions of where we're going to cut. It's not if, we've got to do it. But I'm hopeful that we'll come out stronger for it.
Amen.
Any other?
Okay.
Well, I can't add a whole lot to what the other assembly member said. I would agree with Julie that our lobbyist, he's got a job just keeping what we've got, basically. He's trying to keep our jail open and maintain what we have here. So don't expect us to get a lot of grants or anything, because they're just not there. Item 11, item 10B, appointment to fill a vacancy on the Planning and Zoning Commission, and there were no letters of interest for that, so we'll keep advertising for that. Item 10C, appointment of two assembly members to the Code Review Committee. Assemblymember Dwight had expressed interest in that. Is there anyone else on the assembly that has an interest in that?
What you looking at me for?
You're the new guy.
I'm looking at me.
He's looking at you. He's trying to pass it down.
At this time, I'm going to go ahead and form the Assemblymember Dwight to that. And the rest of you kind of think about it. Maybe next meeting we'll. We'd like to have as much input as possible on that.
We do have a meeting set for Thursday. So with or without a second code review committee member, we will have that meeting.
What time?
4:00. Unless that doesn't
work. Oh,
we'll get to
that. That works.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, the next item, 11, persons to be heard. First person is Bill Goodall on the Tidelands lease proposal. If you come forward and state your name and address for the record, please.
I'm Bill Goodale, and I'm here representing Southeast Properties, which is one of our businesses, is the Stikeen Inn. We own the Stikeen Inn, my wife and I, and we're here tonight, hopefully, not to give you gloom and doom what I just heard. What we are proposing is not a lease. It is to buy some tidelands from the city. We don't lease property, but we would like to buy it. And I'm going to go over, if you don't mind, and I think my voice is loud enough where I can talk to you from over here. Right now, the property for the Stikeen Inn goes along the dotted line. I think you all have a copy of it. Along the dotted line, goes out, goes up. There's some an easement here. And it goes along like this. Now, when we first came here, this was completely different. We traded property with the city, where the city got some land out here that we had, and then we got some land in here that you had, and we negotiated a fair price with, I think, Mike Renfro, and we paid for that property. Well, at that time, we didn't see the growth in Wrangell as well as it's done. So among all this gloom and doom, there's some bright spots. And even though when Melanie gave her talk that tourism is only 3% of our deal, the visitor industry is a lot more, is a lot healthier than you might think. And we are now looking, we have 34 rooms, and parts of the season, including with the bed and breakfasts and Sourdough Lodge and whatever else is in town, that's not enough. Now, are we at a point where we need another hotel or a big expansion? No, we're not. We're not even close. But it's time to start thinking about it, especially since we're thinking about over here the waterfront development. And we weren't going to bring this to the council this quickly, but with the waterfront development starting to happen, whether it's tomorrow or 5 years from now, we still have to look forward. And that's what we're doing here. So we're coming, and this is a courtesy explanation. I have not gone to the Ports and Harbors yet, nor have I gone to the Planning Commission. I have talked to members. I've talked to Greg that we are coming forward. We are on their agenda for the next two their meetings coming. But we wanted to let you know what we are planning. And what that is we would like to expand our, this is our property now. We would expand it where the covered shelter is now. Come out here roughly another It's about another 70 feet. And this is all tidelands. And then we would come straight across here. And our wall is right here now. We would like to go another 55 feet and just square it off. This is an additional 27,000 square feet. Yeah, 27,450 feet. Okay. In order to do that and be able to, and this is to build another building or an addition, however you want to call it. Right now, because I kind of pushed R&M Engineering to get me a drawing, you're seeing a new wall here, a new wall here, and it extends out here. Now this will change a little bit. The wall will more than likely start here and come into here. This will be left beach for now, right here. And this will be filled in here. And this is 55 feet, doesn't cover up the mural that's on the wall. That's left alone. And my dear friend down the road told me I can't build out this way anyway because it'll block her view and I won't get any more hooligans. So that's complete. We can't really build this way because what we would end up with is a huge long building and it would not suit our customers and people that come to the city of Wrangell. So our proposal is right here. This is parking right now, and we own it. It's not city parking, it's actually ours. Is we would come off our building at about a 45 degree angle, and we would come out, and the building would come back this way. Okay? So that people coming off the ships, this sidewalk remains exactly as wide as it is, and we don't encroach on it. When we build the building, the covered shelter would go. And the reason is we've watched for the past 9 years, that shelter is very rarely used, even for the kids selling garnets now. Most of the kids we see selling are down by the ferry terminal. But the building would come out, and what it would be, the town, we have found in the last couple of years, we've been holding bazaars in the restaurant when we're closed. Well, we haven't, the chamber of the city and different groups have been holding. And I didn't realize how much talent is in this town. There's a lot of talent in this town. Just like nobody really realized how much talent do we have for that boatyard with the guys that are down there. Well, there's a lot of talent, of really artists and what have you. So with this building here is our intent to, the first floor would be retail and they would be small retail spaces so that the local artists could show their wares in the summertime, okay? And it would be enclosed so you don't have a windstorm running through like you have with the shelter. And then the upper floors would be hotel. It would be a three-story building again, and it has the possibility of adding another 30 rooms for conventions, whatever, in the wintertime. In the meantime, what we would do is we would, as we have been offering for 3 years, we would fix this shelter up because we can't build right away because the Corps of Engineers is going to tell us no, 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 you're not doing that until we come up with a plan. And we're expecting that to be 4 years. In 4 years, we think that the community will have grown enough and people will be coming here that makes this hotel expansion feasible. Right now, it is not, but we're trying to plan ahead. but we need this property. And like I said earlier, we don't lease property. We never have them. We never will. So we, what we would like to do is buy it. And that's not a threat, by the way. I'm not trying to be threatening. It's just we don't do it. This here, this area here, since we're taking away about five spots here, parking, this is an entire, just for parking, right here. It would actually go to this part of the building. We won't have any parking along in here because we don't want to obstruct the view of the restaurant, nor do we want to obstruct the view of our patrons. This will follow somewhat what this building looks like, just a lot more modern, and actually it will have an elevator. So this is 4 years down the road. Now, we have been very involved in the process with the waterfront development. We've been talking to Chris and Milani and James, and the Heritage Walk is gonna come along through here somehow at some point in time. And we're encouraging, if this is our property, we're encouraged, the way we're gonna build the building, this is gonna be wide open, and that walk can continue right on out as far as we want. This will not be closed off to public access because it's really part of what the community is. So this will be still available. The only thing we'll ask is, I don't know if any of you have been to LeConner, Washington at all, but along their waterfront, they have a heritage type walk. And the restaurants and what have you are right there, but right along the outside of it. It's really nice. It's and they have kind of a maritime industry there too. So, like I say, this is a courtesy at this point to you guys because we haven't run it through ports and harbors. We haven't run it through planning and zoning. But we would like you to know what's coming if they think it's a good idea. We know that you'll have to get your appraiser, assessor on board. I don't know what process you guys have to go through. I know it's something, but we are extremely interested in getting this process started so that it coincides with this waterfront development of the visitor industry, and the development, future development of our boatyard. Right now, this covers it all the way up to our existing property, covers it high to the tides, and it doesn't take much of a tide to cover it. And we would take the whole responsibility for filling it in. We are right now working with a structural and a civil engineer so that the way this wall is built doesn't cause any issues with the summer floats. Because if you build it wrong, what it's gonna do is on a strong westerly, it's gonna come hit and go right back out to the floats. As near as we can tell, it won't cause anything at all. Because when that westerly comes in, those things are like walking down a bucking bronco. I mean, they absolutely move. This is our plan. If you have any questions, I'd certainly be happy to answer them. And this is not an inexpensive project, just like the waterfront is not an inexpensive project. But if we don't start now, we'll never be able to do it. And like I say, we really can't come this way.
How many jobs do you think this would add to the city once you get it completed?
Let me answer it this way. When we came here 9 years ago, we had roughly 7 full-time jobs here and roughly 13 full-time jobs in the summer. We now, in the summer, we have 40 full-time jobs throughout the summer. And by full-time in the visitor industry, you're talking closer to 32 to 36 hours. I am guessing that with this, during our seasons, you're adding another 10 to 12 jobs. And they're service industry jobs. But I tell you what, I would, in this town, I'd love to be a server in the middle of the summer. I would, if I could be that nice. It will add jobs, and it will also give opportunity to other people, small business, you're, like I was telling you, the artists and what have you, to start little businesses at a very, you're talking an area, these little shops would probably be from this right here that way, so there's affordable. And it, you know, it would be something that they could. Right now we're crunching numbers, we're running numbers, which I do all the time, and we're even thinking about having two of them where the kids can sell garnets for free, because that is a really important part of this community. And we, you know, we want to keep in theme with what's going to go on out here. Like I was telling you, right now to add rooms is just not feasible. But this building is going to be built so that we can close it down in the wintertime. And then if we do get larger conferences, which I know the Visitors Bureau is trying to, now we have the, we would have the rooms to accommodate it, along with the bed and breakfast and whoever else is in town. And you know, it's nothing's cast in stone right now. And we're bringing it to you now because that started, and I guess we're trying to say if we can keep moving in the direction we've been moving, it would be great. And I can tell you, in 9 years, the volume through this hotel has dramatically changed. Not just because of us, but because the town is moving forward. You know, when we first came here, it was nothing but gloom and doom. Like you guys tonight, by the way. But it was gloom and doom. And now I see opportunities. I see young people stepping up to the plate. And but we need that property.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, my comment, I'll try and keep it short for now, but I just wanted to say that since your business has moved to town, everything you've done, I consider not only improvement for your asset, but for our community as well. And we've seen it, you approach things in a very stepwise, careful process, and so I think we can look forward to doing something here. Some things that I appreciate you considering how to wrap in the boardwalk, or whatever we call that, heritage walk, and because it will kind of need a link right there to continue on out to petroglyphs.
Yes.
So that would be really nice. And the one thing I think I'd like to encourage you to continue to think about is how to incorporate this little covered public shelter right now in maybe just a little outdoor covered spot that's, and I don't know how that might work, but.
Well, let me tell you how the plan is. We've already considered that. Cheryl, my wife, and Jake, our general manager, that I'm sure you all know, is this lower floor would not just be closed room, closed rental areas. It would be garage doors. And I don't know if you've seen it before in some of the places, especially along waterfront. They're glass garage doors. So when you have a beautiful day and the dust from the freight yard isn't just about choking you to death, you can open those doors and it'll be just like an open air market type thing. But that's why we're holding it. This is the other reason we're holding it off the street, is so that something like that can be done. The other thing we've done, and this is off the subject a little bit, is we have offered the old Alley Cat property to the chamber. They want to build some type of canopy situation so that can be used for events We've allowed them to use it now, and anybody else that wanted to use it, as long as you're insured. And we've offered it, and they are having, from what I understand, they're having a canopy design that is solid. They're going to run it through the fire marshal to make sure that they're not violating anything, and we're giving that to them to use at no cost. And if we do buy this until this has to go, this will be fixed up and can be used at no cost also. The only time we want to make money is when it's time to build the deal. And the in the you know the alley cat problem is right over here, as you all know. That's for 4th of July, Oktoberfest, or whatever they call the thing, that thing. So there's lots of opportunities for that, and we're more than willing to work with anybody that wants to do it. And the final design will come to you guys anyway, so that you know that we're trying to incorporate it into what the community's been doing all along. And then the other reason we can't go this way too, which Jeff knows, is this is federal property. 2 feet of this is federal property. Well, it's all federal property, but 2 feet out off that wall is federal property. And when we first got here, we tried to buy property down here. We were working with Christie at the time, and the city can get the property, private enterprise can't, and the city could sell it to us at that time. As long as we kept this huge yard a yard and didn't block the view out of the courthouse that hasn't been used since. And I'm not too interested in hiring somebody to mow a lawn. It's not really creating an economic engine at all. So that's why this remains a parking lot. And we're taking parking away from here. And in the summertime and when we have things going on in town, this fills up really quick, not only for our customers, but for the people that are over here. There's just not enough parking in that area, never has been. And with the way it's set up now, it never will be, unless we can do something like this. We've already priced out this part and this part. That's why you don't see any fill in here. Because the numbers that the fellow from PND was talking about not only applies to government work, it also applies to private when it comes to filling in. So it's not inexpensive. And I think Mark and I had a conversation out here after the last time I was here, and I told him it was $2 million. Well, forget that number, okay? It's a little more than that. But I think it's viable down the road, and as long as we as a community move forward in the direction we've been going for the last roughly 4 to 5 years, it's an option. It's definitely an option. So, and, you know, so as we go forward, let's think about it.
Well, I'd encourage you to keep, as you move forward, to keep close contact with your village clerk so that at the appropriate time we can have the proper hearing, the public hearing, and so it doesn't close your project.
Yeah, because usually, I'll quite honestly, when I start a project, I like to move.
Here's so. The process.
There's some applications and all of that.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I will. And I do appreciate your time tonight. I went along a little longer than I wanted to, but I wanted the people in the audience to know that just because these guys are willing to do it doesn't mean everything. So I'm going to leave this up here for now. I have other copies. And like I say, as we move forward, this will change a little bit as we know what we can and cannot do, and to make sure that we don't adversely affect the summer flows.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next person to be heard is Carol Rushmore.
Hello. Rushmore, 6 miles, Mobia. I wanted to give you all a brief update on the Tongass Advisory Committee. I don't know how many of you all are aware, if you recall. Last year, the Tongass Advisory Committee was established by the Secretary of Agriculture. I submitted a letter of interest and was appointed by the Secretary to serve on the committee. So as a background, very briefly, in July of 2013, the Secretary issued a memorandum basically unilaterally saying that the Tongass is going to transition from a predominantly old growth harvesting forest to a young growth harvested forest in 10 to 15 years. That decision has been made. The Forest Service is working towards that. Part of this process was to establish this TAC committee, Tongass Advisory Committee. There are 15 members on the committee with 5 alternates, and they represent three members represent 5 different user groups, which include the industry, communities, Alaska Native organizations, environmental organizations, and then other user groups, permit holders, energy, recreation, fishing. We started meeting in August, so you have very diverse interests on this committee. It has been a very difficult process, very frustrating. And sometimes you feel like you're making great progress, and other times you are very frustrated. But there are 2 tracks going on, just so that everybody understands. There's a mandate that the Tongass is transitioning. So the Forest Service is developing a plan amendment. They did the scoping already. They're in that process right now of developing the draft EIS, which is supposed to be ready this summer and out for public review in August. Parallel to that is what the TAC is doing. And our charge was very, very specific in the Secretary's memorandum as well as in the charter that governs this committee. And I'll read it to you because we ourselves have to keep going back to these charges because it's so easy to get off on a tangent or to look at something else. And so it's very specific. But what we're trying to do as a TAC is develop a recommendation, develop an alternative to be part of that amendment, if we can agree on it. So we're working towards that, and basically, initially we were told we had till April, but based on the timelines that the Forest Service needs to be able to do all their analysis for the amendment, I mean for the alternatives before the draft comes out, we basically, we at this last meeting last week, the committee was able to more or less agree on sort of a model harvesting type run as far as kind of volume and I can't get real specific on this because it's very, very complicated and I'm still trying to understand it in full. So I'm just sort of, we have made an agreement on something to at least give to the Forest Service to run their models on and their analysis on for coming out on the draft. We're still working on a document. We're looking at strategies. We're looking at different ways that we can try to help make this transition. But let me read the charter, the 4 narrow focus of this committee. Identify key elements to be considered for a forest plan modification with young growth, the focus of vegetation management while balancing other resource values, tourism, recreation, fishing, subsistence, and renewable energy. Offer recommendations on the suitable and available land base for developing an ecologically, socially, and economically sustainable forest with emphasis on young growth management. Provide advice on how to speed the shift from predominantly old growth management to predominantly young growth management in a way that is economically viable for the existing industry. Offer advice on opportunities to work cooperatively with other landowners on all young growth forest management strategies. That is it. How can we speed the transition? So what as a committee we have done is we've looked at the basic land base. Where is the young growth? The Forest Service has helped a lot of this. And then we've said, well, we want to run these models. What it basically comes down to is 230,000 acres out of 17 million acre forest has young growth on it that is potentially harvestable. Okay? And that's still before you take out other things because groups don't like this or because it's a sensitive or because it's this. So that's kind of where we are right now is trying to say, okay, we know we can harvest young growth here because it's allowed by the land base, the lead tubes. But over here, if you follow the forest plan based on old growth harvesting practices, you would not be able to cut here. So could we relax some of the harvesting practices? For example, I'll just throw one out that we've talked a lot about is visual priority routes. Could we relax that only in relation to the young growth so that we could harvest the young growth to help speed that transition? Or could we harvest young growth in a sensitive area that would help wildlife management but still get commercial logs out in order to speed that transition? So there are these trade-offs. And it's not an easy process because you still have all the what-ifs out there. What about all these other organizations that are still going to file lawsuits? What about the NEPA process that you still have to go through? But as a group, we're trying to work through. We had some very frustrating moments at the last meeting, but we are trying to work through and make some recommendations for this upcoming for this upcoming amendment. And we'll see where it goes. I mean, we have not made agreements yet. And again, this is just one alternative in this draft EIS that's coming out. So that's kind of where you are, where we are. That was very basic. and like I said, I think I know more and know less than I've ever wanted to about the timber industry. But anyway, please, if you have any questions, come see me, and I'll be happy to talk more.
Thank you. Auto floor shops on recycling.
Auto floor shops, 11.2 miles of Moviot Highway. Good evening. I'd like to echo Julie's comments. Everything I've seen Bill do, he's done first class, including his presentation here tonight. I'd like to talk for a minute on recycling. You know, for years I've looked at the amount of plastic that the community, you know, every time I throw away a bottle anyway or a can, you know, and wondered what I can do with that, you know. And you know, it's no mystery that, you know, if you make a cell phone holder or something, you're in Wrangell, you know. You have a small market. You know, and if you start shipping it out of here, you're going to end up, you know, competing with every other, you know, product in the world. So I thought about what I could, you know, what we could make that we could utilize here in town. And I was, when I was reading about the city's recycling program, I was somewhat encouraged. And then I realized after reading in the paper that it isn't a recycling program. It's just a, you know, it's just a separation program. You know, you're just taking plastic and shipping it down south still. It's just separated out from the rest of the trash. And I've actually started a proof of concept program that I've identified something I want to build. I've started building the machinery to utilize it. But, you know, I'm just doing it on my off time and stuff. And you know, it could, you know, it depends on how many times I got to go back to the drawing board. You know, it might be a little while before I actually am able to produce a product to sell. Not to make money. It's really just so we're not shipping plastic out of the community. It's just, you know, something I'm interested in at this point. Anyway, the reason I'm bringing it to you guys is that, you know, even though I could be, you know, a year or two away from this, I'd hate to see you enter into a long-term contract with the people who we send our waste to that would have me potentially in a couple years importing plastic from another community or something, you know. So I just wanted to bring that up. You know, when you know, like I say, it could be a while before I'm actually get a product. You know, and we're just in, I just have to prove that I can do it first, and then I have to prove, you know, and then I have to build the machinery to scale. But at any rate, that's kind of what I'm working on, and I just wanted to, you know, just bring that to your attention to know that there is some ideas out there. A lot of great ideas have been launched out of people's, you know, garages and shops. So, you know, hopefully in the future sometime I can get something up and running. But at any rate, I'd hate to see a long-term contract get signed. And that's all I have.
Thank you.
Yep.
Are there any other persons to be heard at this time that haven't signed up? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to call a recess for about 5 minutes at 8:05 p.m.